Welcome to another episode of Fit to Teach, where every Monday we provide evidence-based health and wellness information to support teachers and school employees on the wellness journey. My name is Kyle Pfaffenbach. I'm an associate professor of health and human performance at Eastern Oregon University and director of the EOU Leap Lab. For Fit to Teach, each week we provide a summary of a research paper that provides insight into some aspect of health and wellness, and we also suggest an achievable action item that teachers and staff can focus on for the week. The goal is that by trying these activities throughout each week, that healthy habits will accumulate, and you can find out what health and wellness activities are a good fit for you. So typically, this is the point where we would introduce a paper, but we don't have a paper for this week. We're just going to talk about a concept. And this is actually in response to a question that we got asking. So first of all, we have a couple shout outs. I want to give a big shout out to our Classroom to Calm guest that last Friday, Kelly McNeil, who is a professor of community health and public health and behavior change and all kinds of different things here at EOU. And Kelly was kind enough to spend some time sitting down with Nathan. Nathan prepped a lot for that and I thought executed beautifully. And so good job. How was that conversation?
Super informative. We talked a lot about kind of self-efficacy and behavior change, and Kelly gave a lot of like personal insight to like what she does, which is really cool because I always find that interesting. It's one of those things where it seems like you guys have all the tools as professors and people who a lot of high education. And so it's super interesting. Like, she wakes up at 4:30 to work out.
I know.
Every day. I'm just like, I could never do that.
It's just the way she's built though.
I know. Yeah.
She also goes to bed at 8.
But she reinforced everything that we've been talking about. And I tried to reiterate, okay, this is something we've talked about before.
Oh, cool.
This is a lot of the things she was saying was just stuff that we've shown in papers, which is, it's always nice to hear. It's okay. The stuff we're saying is right. Not that I thought it was wrong, but
it's not necessarily right for everybody. I don't like saying things like right and wrong. And I'm not trying to like correct you here. It's just evidence-based. It's based on stuff. Yeah. It doesn't mean it's going to work for everybody. You have to find your approach. But we're trying to talk about a variety of different things so we can increase the chance of making an impact on as many people as we can, because it's the more we talk about, the more people can try and the more chance somebody's going to come up on the thing that they're a responder to and that fits for them. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of different ways to do this. Don't let anyone tell you that you have to do this or that. Kelly gets up at 4:30 and trains, works for her schedule, works for her body. It works for her like process. It's not the case for a lot of people. And it doesn't, not me. It's crazy. Yes. So yeah, big shout out to Kelly. Good job doing that. The second shout out goes to Mr. Chamberlain, Jake Chamberlain. He is the PE teacher at Central. I have two boys that go to Central, and Mr. Chamberlain, they really look up to Mr. Chamberlain. He also offers before school training for kids that want to get a little bit more activity in their day. They call that program Cougar Fit. So huge shout out to Jake for doing that. Jake was also a former student here. He's an EOU grad from the Health and Human Performance Department. He's to date the only person I'm aware of that graduated with all three concentrations, full deal. Every single class we offer, that dude took. So it's a pretty cool accomplishment. So Jake wanted to talk about hybrid training. And so I wanted to spend this episode kind of talking about what that concept is, because in all honesty, it's something that it's basically what we talk about a lot, which is that for overall health and wellness, and you can do this at a variety of different levels, like a recreational level or at a level where you're trying to like PR and optimize and things like that. But there's some really interesting evidence that doing a lot of different types of things at a lot of different types of intensities and a lot of different types of ways balanced is very healthy for you. This concept is catching on because there's a lot of people that aren't professional athletes, but still dedicate a lot of time to their training, and they're interested in a lot of different things. So on the really high, on the competitive side, you have people that want to maybe be in a powerlifting contest, do a triathlon, play in an adult soccer league and then, I don't know, run Hood to Coast, for example. And this is what we would say is they're calling themselves now hybrid athletes, or and basically the idea is that, can I do these things that I enjoy at a pretty high level, dedicate myself to them and balance it in addition to family, work, school, those types of things. I thought this is a useful conversation because one, Jake is asking about it. He said, he texted me and basically said, hybrid training seems to be really popular right now. Can you guys talk about that and some of the approaches to that? Because it can be, it seems to be effective if it's done optimally or what we would call in an evidence-based manner. And then we have Nathan here, our Leap intern, who's currently transitioning from being a college athlete to a retired college athlete. Athlete, you like to ski. You found endurance running. You're still practicing with the soccer team some. You're exploring the benefits of different stimulus like heat adaptation and sauna exposure. And you're trying to like also lift weights. Like, yeah. You've got a lot on your plate.
I'm just like messing around. I'm not trying to like be the best at any certain thing. Like I'm not like my feed and like what I'm connected to is just people who are just, it's just straight hybrid athlete stuff. It's like guys who are like, okay.
Oh, your social media.
Yes. Yeah, it's all like guys who are like 200 pounds who are running like sub 3 hour marathons.
Yes.
And I'm not trying to do that, but I have learned a lot about myself through this like lifting and running. And there are a couple of really things that like I've found that like I've been actually like meaning to talk to Kyle about, but we always have other stuff to talk about. So that kind of goes aside. But
that's called getting tabled.
Yes.
It gets tabled. Okay.
But yeah, so I'm like on this, I don't want to call myself hybrid because I'm not, but I'm doing a whole bunch
so
of
hybrid,
things.
Bro.
Yeah. So it's like the biggest thing that I found, and we can, I think this is going to be a topic that you probably wanted to talk about, but like protein and eating has been like my best friend, like through this. And I'm eating more food than I like ever have and more protein than I ever have. And I feel like, not like invincible is the word, but I feel fueled all the time. And I feel like every workout, any limitation I have isn't due to improper fueling, which I felt that a lot when I played soccer.
Interesting. Yeah. One of the interesting things about somebody that's trying to increase their activity level, a lot of times what happens is you start becoming more active because you want to lose weight. And what the evidence suggests is that we want to become active. And if you lose weight as a byproduct of that, it can be a benefit, especially over the long term and as we age. But that will come if you're able to consistently train. And to consistently train and feel good day in and day out and be motivated to train, you have to be well fueled. Mm-hmm. And I know this is like finally an emerging topic. You see a lot of people on social media and stuff like that talking about how many athletes are probably underfueling and how many people just in general underfueling. It doesn't mean go out and start eating a bunch of junk food. So I actually don't like the narrative, the way it's emerging around this. What I would say is that if you're going to work out really hard, it's important to have eaten some carbohydrates going into that workout. And if you're working out for 30 minutes or more, carbohydrates during the workout will make you feel a lot better. Pretty simple. On a 24-hour basis, you want to make sure that you're getting enough protein and getting enough fat. And typically, we want around 1.4 to 1.6 grams per kilogram body weight and around 1.2 grams per kilogram body weight of fat. So I do think as soon as you start dialing those things in, and basically I'll have this conversation with athletes where I say, okay, we can usually figure out when an athlete has a bad day if sleep is good, protein intake's been steady, fat intake's been steady, rest has been good, training load is appropriate, and then they have a bad day. It's typically related to underfueling. I take your point is really good. I think more in regards to this topic, at least from starting it as a conversation point on the podcast, what is this idea of being like a hybrid athlete? Explain, what does it mean to you? Because I think you can have a lot of different definitions.
Yeah. I think it's like the ability to like, I think of it a different way. I think it's like cool. It almost feels like primal. Like I can maximize the abilities of the human body. Like I can lift weight and like the foundation of that, like I can move heavy objects.
Okay.
I could run far, like yep. endurance running. Like it's like, it just feels cool to be able to do a whole bunch of different things and respond like a whole bunch of different stimuluses in a way that's not better than the average person, but where your body's okay, I'm good at that.
So you bring up a good point, because the way I've always thought about this is like, I enjoy going on adventures, and I enjoy going on adventures with my friends. And I remember 2 summers ago, I got out of shape and we were camping up at Wallowa Lake, and one of our friends was there from out of town. He's like, hey, I need to go for a run. I want to do a trail run tomorrow. And we went on this, it was like a couple hour trail run, but it was just like this insane amount of vertical. We ran to the top of this thing by the campground. And I don't know. I couldn't walk for 5 days afterwards. And all I kept saying to myself was like, never again. I never want to be caught. To me, the idea of taking this hybrid approach is, one, it helps me avoid burnout, because I don't get stuck as just, I'm a runner, I'm a biker, I'm a this, I'm a that. 2, it keeps me ready to engage in a variety of different types of adventures. So if somebody wants to go for a hike, someone goes for a long bike ride, someone wants to go for a long run, you want to be to where you can just enjoy that and not be, because I didn't really enjoy that. I survived, but I didn't enjoy it. And I certainly didn't enjoy the fact that I couldn't walk for a week. So you want to be able to go like play pickup basketball without being afraid to blow out your Achilles, and also go for a bike ride and then ski in the wintertime and do different things based on wake surf and paddleboard in the summertime and go fishing. And there's a bunch of different like reasons why you want to do this. But I think in the past, people that did those things mostly trained by doing those things. So if you wanted to bike, run, rock climb, ski, you didn't train for those things. You just did those things. And I think what we're moving to now is more of this model where I don't have time to do those things every day, or maybe the opportunity to do those things every day, but I can get better and be more equipped to not get injured doing the things that I enjoy by taking advantage of the gym, lifting weights in a functional way, focusing on mobility, focusing on core, focusing on getting my cardio each week. And if you start dissecting it in that way, it's really what we've been talking about all year, which is that you can get a lot of benefits from doing resistance training, even if it's not super heavy. And if it's 1 to 2 times a week, you can get a lot of benefits from cardio, even if you're breaking it up in 10-minute breaks throughout the day, and then doing one big long walk on the weekends. And then eventually that morphs into hiking on undulating terrain, and then hiking with weight, and then maybe jogging a little bit. So this idea of a hybrid athlete, it feels validating to a certain sense in based on like the way we teach health and wellness in this curriculum, because it's the manifestation of do a lot of different things, but don't always just do the things.
But it takes work. I think that's the biggest thing, is I couldn't do this before when I was burnt out. And I talked about this a lot. Like there was a time like last term, I was like burnt out. Like I wasn't prioritizing my mental health. Like I wasn't eating what I should, like for soccer. And like in that time, it wasn't like I was like going through it mentally. I was fine, but I wasn't optimizing these things.
Yep.
And now I have a lot more time for it, and it's making a lot more fun. So like, my distance running is improving significantly, but I'm also getting way stronger.
And that's taking,
I've had to put so much effort into this. This is, I'm cooking every meal.
But you're also like at a risk point where you're in a honeymoon phase with the process, and you're also like young, you're at a point where you can take on a lot of adaptations at a rate that somebody that might be aging or a little bit older. And so one of the things I would caution at this point in terms of your approach, and you do whatever you want, this isn't advice, it's just one of the things that you could think about, is like, you can always add more, but when you're cooked it takes, or injured, you're forced to do way less, and then you lose a lot. And so like, when you're adopting a new program, we really want to take the long view. So you really want to be able to ask yourself, could I sustain this for the rest of my life? And like, your day yesterday, you just can't do that every day. Yeah. Tell them what you did yesterday.
So I'm in a jogging class, and I just do it to get credit for what I'm already doing. But I have to run on Thursdays, and Tuesdays, Thursdays, and the one day on the weekend. So I ran 4 miles in the morning. I was fine. Then I sauna'd. It was fine. And then my roommate was like, all right.
But just to let you all know, like, sauna is load.
Yes.
We can do a podcast on that because you're about to do a research project on sauna exposure.
We should definitely do that.
And sauna is load. It is not recovery. Yeah. A lot of people think sauna and ice baths are things you do for recovery. No, these things are training load. And you do get interesting, like, health benefits from doing those things. But you have to manage them just like you do, like, you only do one long run a week, or you lift heavy on your legs once a week. You can't do these things every day without paying a physiologic price for it. Mm-hmm. So you have a 4 mile run, you have a sauna. So
then you go to practice.
Then you went to practice.
Yeah, then I went to practice. And yeah, and Kyle's right.
So just walk us through the practice. How long was that?
2 hours, warm up and cool down.
Then was it small sides or full on?
Passing drills, I was tired. That's what I'm saying.
Of course you were tired.
Because you lose that. It's just so, I find it's so interesting.
Yeah.
It's like, how can I run this much and then be tired from a couple sprints?
No, because the touches are totally different. Yeah. The effort is totally different.
So 2 hours are pretty much just scrimmage because it's recruit practice.
So this is dynamic
soccer
movement. It's mixed. You're sprinting, you're jumping, you're jogging, you're recovering.
Yeah. So the point I was trying to talk to Kyle about, I'm trying to implement this hybrid training.
Right.
And it's so hard to balance everything.
Of course.
And that's what the point I was trying to get at was okay, I want to ski. I want to run. I want to lift. I want to play soccer. And it's like, I'm at the point now where I haven't quite figured out how that balance works.
Right.
Yeah.
And you want a sauna.
And yes.
And you want to work as a lab intern. Yes. And you're taking a full load of classes.
Yes.
And you have a social life.
Yeah.
And you have a job.
But I feel good. I don't feel super crazy stressed.
So let's not get to the point where you're totally burned out before we say, okay, that was too much.
Yeah.
Feeling good is not a sign that you should be doing more.
Mm-hmm.
This is something I've had to work on a lot.
Mm-hmm.
If I feel too good, then I don't think I'm working hard enough.
Mm-hmm.
And I've had to say, okay, feeling good is actually the spot I'm in where I have work-life balance. I'm eating. I'm on a good sleeping schedule. I'm not pushing it with trying to do too much physically or mentally. And so that's a lot of times people, they'll start feeling tired and they'll double down mm-hmm. in it. It can, for this type of approach, it can often make things worse.
Yeah.
And from an application standpoint, we're talking Nathan is, you're 21 or 22?
21.
Okay. So he's a 21-year-old college athlete. And we're not suggesting that you join an adult soccer league and a running class and do all these things all at once. But what is within everyone's grasp is to find this approach of taking on more, creating more variety in your physical wellness program, and also adding increased variety in the mode of mindfulness and work-life balance and positive social interactions and those types of things. And when you start chipping away at these things in a sustainable way, consistently over time, they really do add up. And I think it's cool that this idea of of course people are going to become hyper competitive about hybrid athletes, and then it defeats the whole purpose of what we're trying to do, which is that we know the human body responds to a lot of different things done in a lot of different ways at a lot of different speeds for a lot of different time. Mm-hmm. And that is not some sort of hedging or not all in approach. It is legitimately a really good way to get fit and stay.
I think one thing I want to talk about too is I talk about the influencers and who I watch on social media. And there's a kind of other they're taking a more holistic view of it.
Mm-hmm.
Or I don't know if you've heard of 75 Hard.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Yes. I actually heard about that for the first time last summer. when someone was trying to do it, but I met someone that was trying to do this. It's like you do 75 days where you work out twice, you don't eat any sugar, you journal, you read a certain number of pages every day. It's basically like this really rigid sort of boot camp. She actually modified it. I did the whole thing for a week and I was completely burned out. So I had to modify it. And so she called it the modified 75 hard or something like that. But yeah, these things always rub me the wrong way, to be honest with you.
And that makes sense. But the thing that I like is these people who are like, who really into fitness and like the hybrid thing, they're also pushing for journaling and like meditation and breath.
Yeah, but a lot of times, and here I'm going to push back a little bit, because a lot of times they're doing those things in a competitive way or like in a rigid way. And the whole point of those things is that there's no definition and no judgment around them.
Okay.
So if you set up a structure that makes you feel like a failure, if you only did 2 minutes of mindful breathing instead of 10 minutes, then it defeats the whole purpose of doing mindful breathing, which is to be non-judgmental for a certain amount of time.
Okay.
So like, I get it. They're trying to be like more holistic and take a better approach at these types of things. But I do have to push back a little bit because it's still super intimidating for someone that is just trying to be a little bit more intentional and find balance in their life.
Yeah. I'm going to push back again.
Yes. Yeah.
What I think is important and cool is that fitness is being paired with like overall general wellness, which includes those things.
Unless those things, the way that they're drawn up, cause more stress than reduce stress.
Yes. But again, I'm not doing 75 hard. I don't ever want to do it. But I like look at these things, I'm like, okay, I do want to start reading more. I can work out every day, but I don't read. Like I want to start, for me, getting into reading is harder than working out.
Yeah.
And so to see guys that like I look up to doing it, and it might be in a competitive way, and that's how I am. So they appeal
you
to me.
You respond to that.
But I still do it. And I'm not like saying, okay, I have to do 10 pages a day. I'm just like, okay, I'm just going to try and finish the book I have free for Kyle's class. Like those kind of things. And it's just like little goals for me where it's, okay, these guys that I look up to fitness-wise.
Yeah.
And again, they're probably not the same people that the listeners look up to or you guys look up to.
Right.
But for me, I look at them like, okay, I want to be like that. And now they're prioritizing breath work, yoga, meditation.
Yeah.
I'm like, okay, cool. This is cool.
Yeah. I would agree. And I think naturally it had to go that way because it can't just be, there's always a push and pull with these trends. We've known for a really long time that mindfulness, breath work, like unplugging with enjoyable reading, learning new things, all these different types of things can increase the joy in someone's life and the quality of their life. And it got to the point so long where it's just work over everything or always work hard, no excuses, you never hurt, it's all in your head, all this. And now we're getting this kind of natural pushback because so many people tried those things and were completely burned out, as like anybody would have predicted.
Yeah.
And so you kind of are maybe entering the semblance of some sort of world of like balance or that sort of thing.
Yeah.
Just be careful about being too strict about the things you're trying to do to be less strict and enjoy your life.
Yes.
And well-roundedness more.
Yeah. No, I'm good about it.
It does make me think of people like Mr. Chamberlain.
Yes.
Who has two young kids. He was a competitive athlete in college. He's super fit. And just my understanding of him looking at afar. I mean, we talk every once in a while and things like that. I don't know the details of his training program. But I know he lifts and I know he runs and I know he spends time with his family and I know he plays baseball and I know he coaches baseball and I know he does a lot of programming and he runs those fitness classes in the morning for the kids. And it's all, everybody's welcome, right? It's not competitive. It's just training. And when he asked about this, it was very fitting because he was run Hood to Coast. All these different types of things. And it's a really cool model in regards to this because you're balancing a lot of these different things, work, family, lifting, cardio, serving the community, staying up to date on your profession and connecting with all these young people and coaching. And you find a way to balance all that in a small community. And people like that are super valuable. So we should probably get them on.
Yes.
is what this is coming down to. Yeah. But
I have a question. Mm-hmm. So like in the context of this, like we've talked about cardio and walking and endurance exercise. And we've also talked about resistance training.
Yeah.
So if you're going to do that hybrid and do both, what are the non-negotiables about that?
So this, I think, is more of what Jake wanted to hear. Actually, not talking about this concept, but I really wanted to, and we can take this. We've gone pretty long for what we've done in the past. And so we want to keep this kind of short. But the big thing is that there's quite a bit of controversy about this. Nobody actually knows. My interpretation of the data around concurrent training, though, is that there's enough evidence to me to suggest that endurance training interferes with strength training and strength training adaptations. So if you're doing both of those things in the same day, or you're trying to overlap those things, one, if you can separate them by days, that's ideal. And for a lot of recreationally active people, that's fine. They do pick your busiest days and do your Apple Fitness 20 minutes strength training on those days. And then the days where you have a little bit more time, get your cardio in. That typically takes a little bit longer. And then mix in your activities on the weekend, your hiking, your skiing, your cross-country skiing, your snowshoeing, your hunting, all those different types of things. So that's like the first thing is if you can separate it by the day, that's ideal. Two, if you have to do them in the same day, there's a suggestion that you can separate them like by 4 to 6 hours. So maybe you do lifting in the morning and then you run later on. You're probably not going to get the same interference effect from the running against the lifting if you separate them by enough time. And then the last is that if you do have to do both strength and conditioning in one session, you usually want to get your conditioning, the cardio part of it done first and then do the lifting.
Yeah.
Because there does seem to be some interference, and that gets into some real nerdy intracellular molecular signaling cascades and things like that, that probably if people are even still listening, we would definitely have a drop off there. Yeah. So I think for the most part, separate them by a day, and it works really well if you're shooting for your, you know, the recommendation is 150 minutes of cardio a week, but that doesn't include high intensity. And it also, you're probably better off doing more than that. So if you have 4 days a week where you get in a long walk, one of those days has some intensity, 2 days a week, you're getting a lift, and you're also finding time to maybe hop in the sauna on those days or do some meditation on those days. And then you have one day that's completely off. That's how you would set up like a hybrid protocol for a recreational person.
Okay.
And it just goes from there in terms of like how detailed and intense you want to get.
Okay. That makes sense. And then obviously what we talked about with nutrition too, about fueling up before workouts and
Are the things that we've talked about. You get your protein every day, you get your fat every day, you modulate carbohydrates based on what you need. On your more intense days or longer days, you probably feel better if you get more carbohydrates. Mm-hmm. A lot of people that are exercising for fitness, you don't need as many carbohydrates as you may think, but if you're feeling really flat, you may need more than you thought.
Mm-hmm.
If your protein's good, if your fat is good, if your sleep is good, and your training load is appropriate, and you don't feel good, try carbohydrates.
Yeah. That makes, yeah.
Yeah.
All stuff we've talked about before.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so it all fits together in this integrated way, which is really cool. So shout out to Jake for giving us that idea. We can talk about some more of the programming stuff. The other thing you'll see out there is hybrid athlete is what is like trendy. And that's what's out there on like social media. And that's what people are calling themselves. In different places, there's two other words that should be on your radar for this, especially if you're going to do research on it. One is called concurrent training. So that just means I'm lifting and I'm doing cardio at the same time. There's some really great papers and articles written on concurrent training. And then the other way to put it is called polarized training. So polarized training just means you do a lot of things all the time. And all these things are critical, even at the highest level. And so talking about polarized training, we may do that for our next episode because it's one of those things that it works even for elite athletes, and it works for the firefighters we work with, and it works for recreational athletes that are trying to be balanced.
Yeah. And there's some great papers. You've sent some papers mm-hmm. to me, and then stuff we've read in class about mm-hmm. that. That's good evidence.
Yeah, that's good.
High intensity and resistance training and stuff like that. So that'll be good.
Yeah. And it's based on this. Yeah. Let's get into it in a different episode. Okay. Yeah, we'll do that. So thanks for listening to Fit to Teach, where we provide insights into health and wellness for teachers and staff each week. We will see you on Friday for another episode of Classroom Nicole.
Yeah. Have a great week.
All right. Thanks, Abe.